Blog Talk Radio.
Give me 24 hours
in Sudan.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Jamaica.
Give me 24 hours
in Haiti.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Kenya.
Give me 24 hours
in the Congo.
Get out of town by Sunday.
North Carolina.
Give me 24 hours
in Georgia.
Get out of town by Sunday.
Mississippi.
Give me 24 hours
in Louisiana.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Alabama.
Give me 24 hours in South Africa to get out of town by Sunday. I say if they don't get out of town, we kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the crippled, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all. And do like baby, because God damn it, they're gonna grow up one day to rule your baby. Kill them now. Why kill the women in South Africa? I said kill the women because the women are the military manufacturing center. And every 9 months they lay down on their backs and reinforcement rolls out from between their legs. So shut down the military manufacturing center by killing the white woman. Why kill the elder crackers? Old crappit crackers in South Africa. How in the hell you think they got old? They got old oppressing and killing black people.
Yes, sir.
I said, kill our people. God, God, kill our elf, God, kill our hog, God, God. Kill them all. Kill the faggots. Kill the lesbians. And after you kill them all, I said that day about Mandela to let you know what he really knows about me. Don't know a damn thing. I said, then you go to the goddamn grave.
Black power, black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Brother Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hails and the smells. Inhale it of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an honor to be able to broadcast to you from this esteemed radio show, this bold revolutionary radio show, this cold-blooded radio show that we know of as Black Power Radio. Black Power again to you, my family, and welcome to another edition of the new Black Panther Party's official radio broadcast. This is the time where you tell a neighbor, you tell a friend, you tell your girlfriend, you tell your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your spouse, your uncle, whoever, about this show. Get him on right now. As tell him to call in at 646-478-4447. As we're going to dig in for a couple hours, and we're going to hear from the representatives of our esteemed Honorable Robert Mugabe, President of Zimbabwe. That's right, you heard it first here on Black Power Radio. We're talking about the ZANU PF Party. The representatives on live with us, leading members of the PAC, the Pan-African Congress, right here on Black Power Radio. That mighty esteemed warrior and freedom fighter right there out of Maryland. We're talking about from the Ministers of Defense, Pastor Ted Sutton, on live for Black Power Radio. As always,
get out of town by
One of they're telling me you couldn't hear me, but I hope wherever I picked up at it, wherever we left off, I'm saying we're pushing forward into South Africa. Pushing forward into South Africa, properly called Azania. And as I had given that introduction, I'm saying this, is that we dare to go in. During these times, we're daring to go in. We're being developed and we're being organized by the national chairman to push in into South Africa, properly called Azania. And so this is why we have to hear from these key figures. We have to hear from the Pan-African Congress. Many of you brothers and sisters, you didn't even know who the Pan-African Congress was. You never heard of them. You never heard of the Sharpeville Massacre of 1960. You never heard of this revolutionary organization fighting against the ANC. You never heard of Brother Chris Sankara and those who are in the leading regiment of that. And so we have to bring them to the forefront. Some of you have only heard of President Robert Mugabe. You've only heard of him through sound bites. You might have heard of him on BBC, you know, the British channel. You might have heard him a little bit on Fox News, but you have not heard of him as who he really is, as a freedom fighter and as a liberator and as someone who is interested in the liberation and salvation of the black nation and interested in liberating Africa, from colonial rule and making independence and freedom the law of the land. That's the Robert Mugabe we know, and that's why we say the Honorable Robert Mugabe. That's what we're talking about. We're also talking about uniting Africa. We're talking about putting our quarrels to the side. We're talking about uniting the tribes and pulling the divisions together and making one whole nation, a real USA, not over here like the United Snakes of Amnesia. We're talking about the United States of Africa. And so this is something that's on the plate, as we have to now look into, as our national chairman will tell you, we have to now look into a land of our own. We have to look into black laws for all black people. We have to now look into freedom and independence. We have to now look into doing something for ourselves and stop begging and not begging our 400-year-old open enemy, the white man, for that which we can unite and do for ourselves, as we are no longer on the physical plantation. And even though the orders of the plantation and the institutions of the plantation still stand, we have to be like modern Harriet Tubman. And so we're going to talk to you tonight. We're going to also ask you to donate and go to newblackpanther.com and to make sure that you check out our brand new website right now, live, active, and make sure that you check the website out good and click that button that you see on the top and the button that you see on the bottom. Make sure that you click that donate button. And what are we asking you to donate to? We're asking you to donate to our Revolutionary Roots 2013 tour, our Revolutionary Roots 2013 tour, as we're taking off March 19th, hoping to come back by God's grace on the 27th. And why do we need your help to do this? We need your help so that we can have a real treasury to operate from. As we, the new Black Panther Party, we don't get any grants. We're not funded by Colgate. We're not sponsored by Bud Light and Miller Light and Coca-Cola. We're not sponsored by Procter & Gamble or any of them cracker corporations. We are totally independent, and we are totally for the liberation and salvation of black people. And when you are totally for the liberation of our people, and black people in specific, you know that the money can sometimes get funny, that sometimes people want to withhold their hands, and sometimes people are timid to give and thinking that, you know, it won't be sponsored or okayed by the beast. And so we're reaching out to you tonight and saying, put your hundreds together tonight. Put your 200s together tonight. If you got 1,000, put your 1,000 together right now tonight as we're talking, as you hear Pastor Ted Sutton and as you hear others come on. Have in your mind, in your heart, what you want to give to this trip so that we can show that we back the national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, in his effort for true Pan-Africanism, true liberation, true freedom fighting, true unity among black people, and so we can get some real answers as to what's happening here in the hills and the smells of North America. Aren't you tired of all the killing? Aren't you tired of the miseducation? Aren't you tired of the Arabs and the Pakistanis and the Asians and everybody coming in and taking up the land where you live at, but you don't have a thing for yourself? Where are the black businesses? Where are the black supermarkets? Where's the black farmland? Where's the black tractor trailer? Where's the black bread making company? Where's the black shoe manufacturing company? Why is everything we wear say made in Taiwan, made in China, made in Korea? Why don't you have your own manufacturing center and system, black man and black woman, when we have had greats like the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who has come and raised up steamline ships and raised up banks, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who has come and raised up stuff for us? Why don't we have it in 2012? And so we're going to ask you to donate. We're going to ask you to go to the website. We're going to ask you to push, and we're going to explain. And so we want to welcome our guest to Black Power Radio. And he's no stranger to this radio show, but he's a black man who has been fighting for many years in many different fronts, and he comes in the spirit of the deacons for defense. If you can remember that with F. Williams, Robert Williams, you can remember that he comes in the spirit of the deacons for defense, but he's called the minister of defense or the ministers of defense. So I want him to explain, as he's going to talk tonight, about the delegation. He's going to talk about the importance of going over to South Africa and what it means and what he looks forward to doing. And he's going to introduce himself to you who don't know him. Brothers and sisters, please, let's welcome to Black Power Radio tonight our dear brother and friend. This is brother and Pastor Ted Sutton. Black Power, welcome to the radio show, Pastor. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Good to be here, brother. Good to be here.
Good to have you on, Pastor Ted Sutton. Tell us, please, first of all, about yourself. We don't want to jump right into it. We want to give you a chance to stretch right out and tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? Where do you come from? What's your background?
Okay.
This is Pastor Ted.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of the short version. First, my father was one of the civil rights leaders at Southern and Grambling University. My mother worked for Medgar Evers this summer. He was assassinated. And with both of my parents being in the civil rights movement, when they moved to Baltimore, their middle child, I ended up hooking up with one of the roughest groups in Baltimore, the same people they wrote the series The Wire behind. I was one of the younger people. I was very rough. The person who was my godfather, a man named Little Melvin Williams, the man they featured on American Gangster. So I'm sharing that because I had a chance to see both sides, and living that life and seeing that, I actually had a chance to change my life, but I had a chance to also see what the problem was. Most of my friends were killed. A lot of them were paralyzed. A good portion of them are in the cemetery and are doing life. I ended up changing my life to help change some of these other brothers' lives. I ended up starting Ministers of Defense, and this came out of me seeing a situation where a hard-working man pretty much was violated by youth in the street who didn't know themselves. And it angered me so much that I was like, where did this happen at? This man, he told some young gang members that just keep their hands off of his daughter, and they beat him. He called the police. The police said they could not do anything. And in a situation like that, they said, in fact, the statement they said to him was, call us if something does happen. So if they do beat him again or if they do burn his house down again, call us then, after the fact. And in a situation, you know, like that, I felt that action was more than talk. And I started working, you know, bringing just real men together, because there are a lot of feminine men that talk about it that's out there. But to bring real men together and to start focusing on going in places where the police cannot go, going in places, going in the streets, going in the prison, going on the corner, and trying to also challenge, I would say, some of these people who call themselves ministers and some of the people who say they're community activists, and their work should speak for themselves as far as with that, and challenging them to motivate them to want to do something, and to sometimes put your life on the line, or be prepared to go as far as you have to go to save someone else's life. So that's pretty much what I came out of as far as with that situation. I've worked with helping young men to get off the street. I've worked with gang members in California, you know what I'm saying, Bloods in California, Crips in Little Rock, Arkansas, Vice Lords, Gangster Disciples, Chicago, Junior Black Mafia, Philadelphia, Ninth Ward Boys in New Orleans, Insane Vice Lords, Jackson, Mississippi, 515 Boys, London, Rasta Boys in Montego Bay, Jamaica, I went to Haiti, you know what I'm saying, and so there's no, I don't have any boundaries how far I will go. And the real problem, even working with that, is I had a pastor that asked me, could I train his people to do what I do, to take over drug corners and to go into prison and to do the things that I do. And I told him, I said, well, pastor, I'm not sure if I can do that. And I said, because the thing is, I said, when you look in those young people's eyes, I said, you with the ones you see the tattoos and you see the bandanas hanging and I said, because really these they are soldiers, but their mind is not where it should be yet. They have to be taught, they have to be trained, but they can only receive it from someone who they feel is strong. And I told him that I said the real problem is I said when they look at most of you people. And what I was saying, some of the people that are in the one they say in the ministry, you know what I'm saying, when you look into their eyes, these young guys, I said, you see that they're ready to die for what they believe in. I said, the problem is that when they look back, they see you're not. And for me, they don't see that. They see that I'm ready to roll my sleeves up, jump down in there, and start throwing down. And that's how I get down as far as with that.
Sir, that's excellent, excellent. Let's get right into the crux of the situation. And you're going to travel with us by God's grace to South Africa, Zania, South Africa.
Yes.
And we want to understand why. What was it in your decision that made you want to come with us, the New Black Panther Party? Or in specific, why, you know, for the audience that wants to know, why would a Christian minister or Christian pastor travel with the New Black Panther Party to Azania, South Africa? What's in it for you?
Well, to be honest with you and things, I mean, the way I really look at it, see, people have to understand the how strong the situation is. I'm a brother that I had no fear in the streets. And to me, you know what I'm saying, people have to take this stand of having no fear. And that has been the problem as us as a people. Now, as far as I was concerned, I feel like I was one of the brothers that was kidnapped. But I've been trying to make my way back home, which is to the motherland, ever since I've been kidnapped. And I just feel that it's a need for the message to get out. And I don't think it should come just from one organization. People have to see that we are representing people. We are representing a whole party, you know, per se. You know, and my whole thing is that's just really what we're going to have to do. And to be honest with you, I'm challenging men first to just be men. I think that's one of the problems that I have is so many people are just with so much fear. But the thing is that to me, if you are living in fear, are you truly living? So, I mean, that's one of the things that I respect is strength. The black man standing up and being strong, taking back what we should, taking back our homes, taking back our communities, taking back the streets, taking back our schools, and really teaching these young men the proper way to treat our women, the proper way that you handle yourself, And I mean, I think that's the message that I come with as far as with that. And, you know, to me, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people, they talk about this. I know me personally, I've taken people off the streets and housed them. I've taken people, I've gone into the courtroom defending young men and speaking for them when they could not speak for themselves. And so for me, this trip is something positive, and it's definitely something that's strong, and I can only be a part of something that's strong. I cannot be a part of something that's weak. I cannot be a part of something that is about homosexuals and feminine people that take a stand, you know, as far as in a negative way. I can only be a part of something that is strong as far as what, because these young men, they will only receive it from something that is strong. You cannot be weak, and they won't and try to tell them something. And the bad thing about it, you could actually be weak and telling them something that's right, but they won't listen just because they know that you're weak, and they don't want to be perceived as weak.
It's good teaching. That's good teaching. What is your message then to the Christian pastor? I know we have questions a lot of times on Black Power Radio about the role of the Christian pastor in the movement. What is your message then to the Christian pastor in relation to the liberation of our people and what we should do in this time?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've been working with the imam in Chester, Pennsylvania, and that's one of the roughest little areas right out there, just outside of Philly. The graduation rate in the school is 24%. They were closing the schools down, asking the teachers to work for free. They had to have martial law come out. They had a curfew last summer because they shot a young man. They came back to shoot his sister because she witnessed it. They ended up missing her and shooting her four-year-old son, and then they shot the detective that was working the case. It's a rough little area. I've been coming up there regular, but I've been working with the Muslims, working with the brothers in the streets, and my whole thing was, as I said, I wasn't coming with just a message just for me. I said I'm coming from a message that we, as men, have to put aside all little differences, all little different things that try to separate us as being black men. When we're in that car and the police are pulling you over, and when they're saying, all of y'all get out, you know what I'm saying? I want all of y'all niggas to get out of that car. They don't start saying, is this one a Kappa? Is this one a Q? Is this one Jehovah Witness? They mean business on a different level as far as with that. So for me, my message is that we have to put aside the separate things that separate us. Because to me, the only thing that should really be separating us is the real from the fake.
Teach.
Right now, the real from the fake, the strong and the weak. You know what I'm saying? So that's what, because, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've had some people, and I've called them, I say, what I call them is poverty pimps. And that's people who focus on what's inside of the walls, but they are almost afraid to go outside of those walls where the real killings are going on, where the real travesties are going on. Mm-hmm. You can check my record. I have run up in burning buildings and saved children, caught a baby from the third floor. You can check my records about me stepping in the community and taking over drug corners. You know what I'm saying? You can see, you know, where I'm marching down the street, you know, and marching to the police station to hold officers who've shown some injustice. I drive around with young men, and we have video cameras where we videotape how police officers are treating, you know, people as they stop them. But the real problem is that I challenge anyone, how can you say that you believe in God, but you don't have the faith to think that you can be protected to go into the lion's den?
That's good teaching. That's actually great teaching. Great teaching. Stress to us, Pastor Ted Sutton, stress to us the importance of this trip. I know that some people may not yet, even though we're late in the quarter, they may not understand the importance of this trip to Azania, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. What is the actual importance of this trip, and how does it relate to us here in the States and black people?
I mean, I'll be honest. But first, I could even start on a smaller level. I got young men that are in my different circles where I work with all of these little gang members and these little cliques and these little crews all over Baltimore and all over the country. And I mean, I got Crips that's like, man, you going to Africa, man? Nah, man, I know you ain't going to Africa, man, for real. And I mean, so it really has shown them something that to actually to strive for. It shows them something that, like, it's almost like it's unbelievable, you know, for them. It's almost just like they can't believe that they even know somebody that is going to a place that they only heard of and they only know through movies like Tarzan or something, you know, that they have no idea, you know, about. And I'm like, well, hold on, let's go back. I said, how do you watch a movie like Tarzan and this one white man goes to Africa and he done took the whole thing over? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you have to understand the difference between what's fake and what's real. And we are here to stand on what is real, what is tangible, what is not paper mache, what is not a science project. We are coming as men standing, saying that we are for, but you know what? I even tell people that, you know, I'm for what's wrong around the world, not just in my home, not just on my block. I'm willing to go into the lion's den in different areas if it means that my children and your son and my son can be free. That's right. What it's all about, meaning that because to me, if it should be no justice, no peace. I even feel that I was almost born in the wrong time period because that's why I still wear my hair in a blowout. Like a bush, because I let people know. I mean, I love that the way that they took a stand, saying no more.
Mm-hmm.
But these young men, if you really notice it, somebody better reach them. See, this is the thing. Do you know that they are willing to kill? They are willing to die. The thing is, the real problem, they don't know what to kill or die for. So these young men have been put in a situation where they have something in them and they want to fight for something. They know that this ain't right, that it's got to be more than just checking boxes and wearing Timberlands. It's got to be more than just big butts and 22-inch and 24-inch rims. They know that it's something inside them saying that it's more to being a black man than standing on the corner with your pants around your ankles. And I say, but they don't know what it is. And by them being so unsettled, they not knowing who they are, they have a self-hatred. And by me hating myself, it's easier for me to kill somebody that looks like me because I don't like me. And when you until some man, and not just any man, until a strong black man stands up and teaches that young man and lets him know that, look, Simba, Mufasa was here before you, I paved this way, and that you're doing wrong, you're acting out, you don't do that. I even have in my book, is called Temporarily Insane. One of the chapters is talking about nobody has even taught you how to do wrong the right way. Mm-hmm. And I've been sharing with these young guys, man, nobody even taught you how to do wrong the right way. How do you steal a car in your own neighborhood and keep it?
Think about that.
How
Think
do you get
that.
In a car with six guys and y'all got weed smoke going out the window, blasting Biggie, y'all going on a beef, everybody got on hoodies, everybody got guns in the car with bad tags and a taillight out?
Right.
To me, that's insane. That is insane.
Yes, sir.
And to me, and you know what? And you know what? To be honest with you, some of these pastors, some of these ministers, some of these deacons, they shouldn't even be able to sleep at night. I get up at 3 in the morning, brother, and I'm in unrest. I'm still up at 4 in the morning sometimes, and I'm in unrest because I feel an unrest, and I feel that, you know, it just shouldn't be. I can't live comfortable, man. I can't live comfortable knowing that these young men are dying at a staggering rate and nobody is doing something to change it. You know, so
that's
for me,
talk,
and
Pastor.
I know, and I tell you, I'm not fussing. This is how I talk. This is me, you know what I'm saying, meaning that I get down like this. I'm glad that I had a chance to experience all of the stuff that I did. With my friend getting killed in front of me, and I had to hold his brains in. With my other friends paralyzed from the neck down, and my other friend, they found him in Drew Hill Park, stabbed up in his own car. And I'm telling you, I ended up being blessed out of that entire madness because I'm sensitive to the situation to the point that I am willing to put myself on the line. You know what I'm saying, to do whatever we have to do to try to make change. And I want to not just change myself. I want to change some of these people who claim that they are game changers too.
We love it.
I
want to
see some of these people who say, you don't have a problem taking up an offering, do you? They don't have a problem when it's about selling chicken dinners or fish dinners. I said, you know what, so my thing is that why don't you take some time out and work with these young men.
Take some time
out and teach them about something. Take some time out and tell them, don't you ever disrespect your mother again. Don't you ever try to sit down at tables to single mothers with their son right there. I said, don't you ever let me hear you disrespect your mother like that.
Yes, sir. Pastor Ted, we right at the hour, man. But you on fire. I had
good
to let you get that
yes,
out.
Yes, brother. I appreciate
out,
it.
Brother.
I appreciate it.
And we need to hear that. Please do us this. Please. Well, Jim is saying let you roll. So keep going then. Keep going.
I mean, I tell you, I mean, be honest with you, man. This is how I get down. This is how I roll. And it almost angers me, man, when I see people. Just like when I talked to a pastor, you know, in Chester, Pennsylvania. He said, look, I want you to help. Train every last one of my members to do what you do, to go into prisons, to go on to take over drug corners and to go out here and go. And I said, look, Pastor, I said, I would love to do that. And I said, but I don't think I can do that. And he said, well, why not? And I said, check this out. I said, when you seen that young brother out there on the street, and I said, and he got them gold fronts in, and he got the teardrops down his eyes, and he got all the tatted, he all tatted up, and he got the rag hanging out his pocket. He said, yeah. And I said, when you look into their eyes, you see that they are ready to die for what they believe in.
Yes, sir.
I said, the problem is, Pastor, is when they look back at you, they see you ain't.
Say that again, Pastor Ted.
I said, so what I'm saying is how do we allow these young men and these young soldiers to be prepared to die for what's wrong if you ain't prepared to die for what's right?
That's real talk.
I said,
that's
so what I'm saying is, and you ask me, what's my edge on the streets? I said, when they look in my eye, they see I'm ready to die for this thing.
Sir.
Meaning I believe in what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't going nowhere. And I don't have no fear of no man. I don't have no fear of nothing inhaling or exhaling. And I said, and if that ain't something that every man should have, he should strive for it.
Right. Right. Straight up. Fast Pastor Ted, you blazing. Give us the information. Those that would like to support your movement, we want people to support Pastor Ted Sutton. As you can hear, he's full of the fire, full of the spirit. This is the kind of energy that we need in this hour and this time to get us through. Pastor Ted, tell us your information. Is there a way people can join on to your movement? Is there a way that they can get involved with what you're doing, help you in the cities? What can we do for you?
Okay, you can contact me. Well, one is I'm on Facebook with Ted Freedom Fighter Sutton. That's Ted Freedom Fighter, one word, Sutton. I said the other piece is ministersofdefense.com is another way, you know, saying people can check out, you know, what I'm doing, you know, in the whole nine. And really, if people want to contact me, and because I'm doing a lot of work in different areas like Pittsburgh and Philly, Philadelphia, and all up and down, you know, the East Coast and going wherever. But if brothers want to actually organize, if you get a number of people, I will come and help you to organize, and we can get something started in your city if you are prepared to try to make change. Only if you want change, though. I don't even want to go places that people aren't prepared to. Cause see, I'll fight with you side by side, but I'm not going to just go out there and just fight for myself to go
right.
anywhere. And
that's
you know, because
right.
meaning the people have to feel that we can win this. The people,
sure.
you know, so in fact, it's been times when I done went out and I have grandmothers who were staying out there with me. And, you know, and I'm like, and I love it, man. I love some of them older people, man. They go hard. They don't
mm-hmm.
care. It's the people that are so worried about losing their job or they worried that their BMW is going to get messed up or something or scratched. And I said that's some of the ones that I do have a problem with because they have already made their choice of materialism over the youth. And
right.
that's the part I can't deal with. But for anybody that actually really wants to fight, if you want to stand, if you want change, if you're tired of and you're not complacent with these young people dying right in front of your face and you're not doing nothing, if that's what you want, I'm here all day, man. I'm here all day, brother. And you know what? And it don't matter what continent. When they call me to come to Japan, I'm going to Japan.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It don't make a difference.
That's good.
If it's some dark skinned Eskimos out in Alaska and y'all having beef like that, then you make me an igloo and I'll go out there too. You know what I'm saying? So it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? And my whole thing is, and I let them know that I don't have no fear of anything inhaling or exhaling that's out there. So if people want change and you actually want something out of life, you want, and you're tired of that, then, you know, I'm the man for the job and we can do this, but we can do this together only if the people want this. And a lot of times that's where they call me, man. I done went all out to Birmingham, the UK. Man, check this out. I'm out there in Nottingham, you know what I'm saying? The whole night and straight up in the hood. Straight up in the hood, man, going straight into prison and the whole nine. So
yes,
that's
sir.
Pretty much just how that is, man. So I'm with it.
Okay. Appreciate it. Let's give it to him. Let's give it to him, Pastor Ted Sutton.
Thank you, brother.
We got to let you have it right now, Black man. You're on fire. Full of the spirit.
It's real, man. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Pastor Ted, you the man. Pastor Ted, brothers and sisters, please support our family. This is Minister and Pastor Ted Sutton, and check him out on Facebook. Give the Facebook one more time. We're going to move on to the next segment and bring in Deshaun Farad so he can interview from Your Black World, our national chairman. But give the Facebook out one more time, Pastor Ted.
Okay, the Facebook is Ted Freedom Fighter Sutton. And the website was ministersofdefense.com.
All right. Pastor Ted, we thank you so much for being with us. And as always, you know you're welcome on this show. You know you family. And you know you Panther. That's all in you. So whenever you want to come back for an extended interview, we got you, Black man.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me. All right, brother.
All right. Peace and blessings. Black power.
Black power.
All right, Pastor Ted Sutton, let's move forward. And brothers and sisters, you can hear we are excited. We are excited about pushing forward to South Africa and Tanzania. And I want to push forward now on this segment with our national chairman. We're going to bring in a brother who you all know, who is a credible journalist, and he has been out here on the front lines getting the facts for the people. He is a writer, a blogger, and a man who works with Your Black World, with a good friend of ours and comrade of ours, Dr. Boyce Watkins. Let's help to bring in, this is Brother Deshaun Farad. Black Power, Brother Farad, how are you? Farad, you online? Can you hear us?
Like yes, sir.
Having... Oh, you
can hear
it. There you go. Yeah, there we go. How are you, dear brother? You're on live Black Power Radio, and we're gonna give you this segment. We want you to interview our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zubu-Shabazz. We know that you put a beautiful article out there on the trip, and so at this point, sir, we're going to turn this one over to you. And brothers and sisters, we want to bring on now live our national chairman, the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is Dr. and Attorney Malik Zubu-Shabazz interviewing live with Brother Deshaun Farad, Your Black World, Black Power.
Chairman Shabazz, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, already you announcing your trip on Facebook, and even before my article, has already garnered negative attention. There are people who are saying now, your critics are saying that Malik Shabazz is doing this as a publicity tour to attempt to clean up the racist and anti-Semitic and violent image of the New Black Panther Party. How do you respond?
Well, who's saying that, first of all? Who's saying it? I have to know who's saying it. Then I can gauge how to respond to that, what I say, silly question.
I've actually
Before I answer any questions, let me just greet the radio listening audience of Black Power Radio, which is Black America and becoming the Black world's fastest growing liberation radio. And I want to greet Pastor Ted Sutton, who has spoke mighty and strong, and he is indicative of the quality of this delegation. And I'm happy to hear him on. He's going with us. We'll get further into it in the course of this interview. I'm happy to be on Black Power Radio. Now, you come on with it, Farad, and whatever you got to come with, I'm going to have an answer for you.
All right. I just asked my first question to you. How would you respond to your critics who say you're doing...
That this is a publicity stunt.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry for those who would feel that way. And I would say that we even have to get our message out even more. Yeah, I decided that this trip would have an educational value to it, that it would have an inspirational value to it, that we in the New Black Panther Party should educate the black nation on what we're doing and why we're doing this, and educate them on Africa, educate them on who we are. And if somebody said, well, as you posed your question, well, we're trying to clean up the image of the New Black Panther Party. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Our enemy has lied on the New Black Panther Party. Our enemy has taken sound bites, sometimes even with our own help, and have used it to distort who we really are, our aims, our goals, and our intentions. And so I am not going to let the devil continue to lie on us and lie on me and try to make me appear to be an evil man. And I'm not going to let him make our father, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, an evil man, or any black man or woman that's standing up for our people. I want black people to understand, Brother Deshaun Farad, who Malik Zubu-Shabazz is and who he's trying to be. And as our teacher taught us who I am, and by the grace of God, I am becoming. I just want to help black people to become free. I just want to help fulfill the vision of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I wanted to see Africa for Africans at home and abroad. I just want to help fulfill the mission of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who went into South Africa in the late 1970s. He kept fighting after the nation fell, all in of what they call a Zania. This now should be properly called a Zania or South Africa. And so I have to do my job, and I'm not going to let this devil distort to the people who our job is. And that's why tonight I'm so happy I can tell you with confidence, go to www.newblackpanther.com. Go to newblackpanther.com. Don't believe the tricks of the enemy and his lies and distortion campaign against the New Black Panther Party. Go to the position of the New Black Panther Party yourself and see our website just in the beginning stages. And also put there, I'm coming to a close, but also put there by our new webmaster, our brother, our ally in the Nation of Islam, Brother Khalid Musawir. Let's give him a strong black hand. NewBlackPanther.com, cracker. NewBlackPanther.com. Coming back on this cracker now. You there?
Yes, I'm here. Now,
you will find the articles. You will find the articles on the Dashaun Farad written, and it will be appearing on newblackpanther.com. Articles and with the latest one out, Brother Sean. Now we can get it right up with speed and efficiency. Oh, it's an information campaign, but the tables are going to turn now. We got Black Jesus now working with us from Florida. Black Jesus down there, who was from a Cuban background. He's an awesome black conscious graphic artist. We got King Shabazz, who is in our prayers in this hour. Young God King Shabazz from Toronto, with his brilliant writings and journalist skills. Yeah, brother, God is blessing us and hopefully going to bless us to let the people know what we really are and what we're trying to do. And this is a great time for it. So however they want to characterize it, it's a publicity stunt. Whatever niggas want to say, it's all right with me. I say we should double and triple and quadruple the promotions on it, quick, fast, and a hurry. Go right
now,
ahead.
Now, we're told by several of our contacts in South Africa that the region is somewhat volatile right now due to the political climate. Have you carefully measured the safety of this trip or taken the necessary security precautions for such a trip to such a potentially volatile area?
My hosts who are hosting me in the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, our hosts who have hosted such important ones from America, such as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, have hosted the All African People's Revolutionary Party, Kwame Ture, on other occasions, Bob Brown and others in the AAPRP and AAPRPGC. They have hosted many from America. I am not the first one here. And we want to make it clear in our promotion of our trip to Africa, we come in a line of divine who have made these types of pilgrimage to Africa. We come in a line of divine, and we are extremely humble. We don't go to Africa with our chest out. We go to Africa very humble. And
now,
we are about to approach. And so what you must understand, my dear brothers, we come in the legacy of Minister Malcolm X, who has gone to Africa. We come to the legacy of the Black Panther Party, who has been in Africa since the days of Cleaver and others who have gone on, and Geronimo and all of those, even some that are still here going back and forth. Come in the legacy of Minister Malcolm X, his trips and his pilgrimage to Africa. And specifically, our host and the PAC are a well-respected organization. And they know that they are going to handle me and have guaranteed that they are going to handle me correctly. So I will have my own squad and my own team on the ground. And I also have Nation of Islam that is throughout Azania or South Africa that are also coming with me and other allies that I have. I'd be getting blessed with allies that are contacting me. And we sure, but brother, I can say all of that and have all that security, well-armed security I'll have. I'm happy to have armed security, all the men in them green uniforms. And they have assured me, and I have assurances that I am not taking an unreasonable risk. I'm going to be speaking in Sharpeville on March 21st. By God's grace, I'm scheduled to speak in Sharpeville, where 7,000 to 10,000 or more will gather for the Sharpeville commemoration, commemorating the bloody massacre in Sharpeville when black people rose up against this wicked, racist, diabolical, satanic, demonic, ruthless regime in Azania, South Africa. And so if I have to die there, goddammit, then that'll be the place to do it. And I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't think it's God's will. So I don't want anybody getting worried, because I'm going home to Africa. And I'm going to where other leaders before have put their foot down, and I will go here and put my foot down also. And I have faith in my God, but I don't have an insurance policy from the devil, and I can make no guarantees. And there's no revolution without risk. It has rewards and risk. So any person that you love out there, Louis Farrakhan, Umar Abdullah Johnson, Brother Seti, any leader out there in the black nation that you love, it seems like a great reward. What a great reward to be Louis Farrakhan. What a great reward to be Ashraf Kwesi. What a great reward to be Mugabe, President His Excellency Robert Mugabe. But it's also a risk. Also a risk. What a reward to be Ted Sutton and traveling all over the world and firing up youth and meeting people and in magazines. What a reward. It's also a risk, and come out of many risks to just be able to get that reward. So, you know, it is what it is, black man. We have to do God's will, and we can fear none but Allah. We fear none but God. We pray and we tie our camel. We go to our God and we have our gun. Let's go to the next question.
When we understand that you're scheduled to address, you and members of your delegation, or some members of your delegation are scheduled to address various gatherings in South Africa, what I would like to know, or what we would like to know, do you plan to address President Obama's controversial move to send troops into Africa?
You know, brother, as a general principle, I will never support any foreign troops on African soil. So, without specifically commenting on that, I would just tell you in general what principles I operate off of. Never does any black man or woman with any sense tolerate the occupation of foreign troops on African soil. That had never been a position of our movement and never will be the position. That wasn't even Dr. King's position. Wasn't Kwame Ture's position, wasn't Malcolm's position, wasn't Elijah's position, wasn't Farrakhan's position, wasn't Dr. King's position, once again, wasn't Old Testament Jesse's position, wasn't Old Testament Al Sharpton's position. And so principles are principles, rules are rules, and laws are laws. Whoever's in power of the presidency who's violating the rule or the law, it makes no difference. Okay? We know already going into the gate, before we get up out of here, that we are against all foreign occupation into Africa. We are for fair dealing in Africa and for removal of all parasites and bloodsuckers off of toms and bootlickers from the continent of Africa. Freedom and liberation, a sharing of the wealth amongst African people, and a new order where Uncle Tom neo-colonialists, blacks who are getting some money, to leave the people in poverty without electricity, without lights, without gas, without water. These niggas wax rich and sell off the goods to the European or the white man or cut some kind of dirty deal, you know?
Now,
really, I'm not going over there to get involved in all their politics.
Now, are you at all?
I just let you know what my mindset is, okay? You know what my mind. You know the answer to that question before you even ask it. So you know.
Okay, well, this is my question. And speaking of, you mentioned certain You use the term Negroes to describe, I'm presuming, certain blacks who will be considered bourgeoisie. When you go over there, will you be addressing the black billionaires who many, as I've been told by my contacts in that area, most of the black billionaires in South Africa have been set up by the former imperialist forces. Will you be at all touching on that?
I don't see how we cannot touch on the rule or the principle. Once again, I'm not specifically talking about any person inside of South Africa right now. I'm not going to say anything that is going to preempt me coming there and give out a lot of clues and keys of something I may say. I can say that I am, the Pan-African Congress speaks for me when it comes to the internal politics of South Africa in specific, especially when it comes to naming the names. Do you understand? That is their job. That's like me. That's like them coming over here and telling me about the city council in Washington, D.C., or the struggle with the New York Police Department. I mean, they can come maybe advise us, but mainly their job is to study. And it's our job to be on top of Bloomberg and the NYPD and the local city council in D.C. and whoever the enemy is in Louisville and Chicago and all of that. So I know my place, brother. I'm not coming over there some goddamn arrogant big shot and come over there talking crazy about everybody over there. I can tell you I stand on the principle of true freedom and liberation and independence. And a sharing of the wealth of Africa with the people of Africa. Just like I stand on that same principle here in America, that the black people should have ownership and control of their resources in their community. And so that's a principle that is universal. We carry that principle everywhere. That's as much as I'm going to say on that subject matter. The PAC is well known and able to articulate the position on who is the specific neo-colonialist and all of that in Southern Africa. I come to study my African roots. I come to share with my brothers and sisters. I've been asked to share with them my experience. My experience. And maybe you and Minister Sean can stay on and y'all can interview together my next guest who will come up in a few moments. And you can ask him those questions. He's coming on from the PAC. He's a veteran of the Sharpeville organizers. And he's an awesome black man. And you can interview him and ask him all them specific questions because they love to do that. But I have been asked to come share our experience of black people in America. There is a misinformation campaign that has gone all over there about the nature of the reality of who we are and the society and country we live in. So I have my own specific role, and I know how to stay in my lane. But whatever I got to say, you hear that, Farhan?
Yes, I'm still here.
Well, cut that back. I mean, it's, look, whatever I come to say in South Africa, it will be strong and it will be based on facts. And it will come out of a spirit that God has given to me. But I'm also going there also. We must understand this. It's not just this Malik Zulu. This is a delegation. This Revolutionary Roots Tour is a delegation. I'm happy to be going with the national spokesman of the new Black Panther Party, Minister Sean Kwali. And he will be speaking across Azania, South Africa. He will be speaking across Azania, as I will. Pastor Ted Sutton will be on the rostrum, and he will be speaking along with me. I'm hoping to have with me Minister Hashim Nzinga. I better have him. Minister Hashim Nzinga. I'm going with King Samir Shabazz, the National Field Marshal of New Black Panther Party. And other greats, Heru, Kahuti, Bilal, other great soldiers in this mission, and a bold black woman named Sister Camila Shabazz, and King Shabazz from Toronto. This is a call, should be you, Dashaun Farad, and Amira Sankofa, the great female freedom fighter, black woman national assistant in this new Black Panther Party. This is a collective mission. I'm openly promoting other leadership in the Panther Party because we've long ago been working on what y'all see coming to pass right now. And this is the new face of the new Black Panther Party. This is the image. New www.newblackpanther.com. This is our new image. This is our new way. This is our new level that, by God's grace, we rise into the realm of African. So we're not just going to South Africa. We're headed into Zimbabwe. Now, ask me about Zimbabwe.
Well, I'm just getting ready to do that if you allow me to lead the interview. Now, you're scheduled, I understand, to meet with President Mugabe.
Well,
hello?
I say,
yes,
sir, what did
yes,
you say?
Sir. Now, are you scheduled to meet with President Robert Mugabe?
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny that at this point here in this Black House briefing room. Because I know the enemies are listening as well as friends.
Now, some
of our friends, all of our friends here in the movement on the line, our friends from the Civil Rights Movement and the Black Nationalist Movement, Black Power Movement, the Muslim Movement, the Christian Church, the Hebrew Movement, the RBG Movement, but also Lucifer is on the phone, Satan is on the phone, and the devil is on the phone, and Beelzebub. A snake, a beast. All of those guys are out there on the phone too. You listening to anybody? And so therefore, I can only tell you that I would hope to meet with the boldest Black man and leader on the continent of Africa. He's the boldest.
Now we must ask, now if you're speaking about President Mugabe, you do realize that most Americans, specifically those in the government, see him as being a tyrant. So why would you be go meeting with a tyrant, some would ask you, who was unjustly taking land?
Well, only Uncle Tom called him a tyrant. Now, let me tell you who I'm talking about first. Let me give him his proper introduction. He's a tyrant to a Tom. He's a freedom fighter to a conscious Black man and woman. That's my short answer. About who? I'm talking about the Honorable. I'm telling you now, my position from the jump, he is the Honorable President, His Excellency, Robert Mugabe. Such an honorable, beloved, and beautiful Black man as he is so easily to defend. For he is the one that requires that 51% of all the minerals in Zimbabwe that are taken out by companies, that 51% of the wealth must remain in Zimbabwe. 51% of the profits must remain in Zimbabwe. And the rest that a foreign company may take out. Who got all this background noise?
Chairman, I'm in traffic right now.
Just mute your phone so I can answer this question. It's all right. It's okay. I know you're a freedom fighter or journalist out in the field. Now check it out. Mr. Mugabe heavily taxes the other 49%. The 49% that a foreign company may take out of any minerals or exports in Zimbabwe. And then he heavily taxes the 49%. He gets as much justice for the Black man and woman of Zimbabwe as he can. He wants the land of Zimbabwe for the Black man and the Black woman. He's not a dictator. It's a multi-party system. Even though half of the party may be financed by the enemy from Britain and England, still, he should be a tyrant. Let me tell you, somebody needs to come on the scene to straighten up the Black man and the Black woman. Somebody needs to come on the scene to handle the business. That's crazy as hell. He's a tyrant. Is Louis Farrakhan a tyrant? He's been in power 40 years over the nation of Islam, and there's never been an election other than the election by God and His Christ. Then 2-0 vote. There ain't no other votes in that system. Is he a tyrant? Hell no. We need
need him to do what he's doing. But Khalid Muhammad, a tyrant, well, they already say Sean Qualley, say, well, he's the longest running chairman of any Black Panther formation. 11 years. Thank you. Wow, 11 years. Am I a tyrant? Hell no. If I wasn't doing this, who the hell going to do this job? So let's keep it real, man. We need a man like that in power. We need some men that are endowed by God. Don't think I'm against democracy and all of that. But right now, there's too many enemies that are financing so-called opposition and democracy movements that are undermining true liberation, freedom, and independence. And so I love Mugabe. I love Mugabe, and I love what he's doing, and he's not a tyrant. And I would hope to go over there, and I would hope to do fact-finding and research so I can tell Black people in America and take the napkin out of their eyes and take the scales off their eyes and open up their eyes to see that the land of the Black man in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, anywhere in Africa, that's our land. Whether we should be so rich, it should be a shame. The Shah Farah, we should be throwing gold and pearls and diamonds around. We come from the richest, most wealthiest continent on the earth.
Which takes me back.
We can make Israel look like nothing.
Now, this takes me back.
Africa was free and independent. We make Israel look like nothing, man.
Well, let me ask you this now, Chairman Shabazz. Let me ask you this. So do you then agree with Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois when he says regarding Black people that, quote, if we lose Africa, we lose everything, end quote? Do you agree with that?
Well, hell yeah. Of course, if you lose Africa, you lose your heart, you lose your home, and you lose your base. You've lost Africa. I put that in the past tense. You've lost Africa, and you've lost everything. So now we got to regain it back. You know, if we got to regain our relationship back with the Black man and woman in America, mute that damn phone, man, or get somewhere quiet, my dear.
Okay.
Yeah, just try to get somewhere quiet, because this interview is important, and I'm getting ready to get off after another question so I can go get our guest. So I'll go give you one last question, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, doctor.
Okay, yes, sir. Sorry about that. Chairman Shabazz. So since you're speaking about possibly visiting President Mugabe, this takes me to another question. You keep mentioning PAC. Do you plan on meeting who some call PAC's political rivals, the ANC, the African National Congress, or Nelson Mandela or Winnie Mandela? Do you plan on having any type of dialogue with them while visiting?
I have no schedule and no interest, and I mean no disrespect to him, but I have not even thought about meeting with Nelson Mandela.
Wait a minute. You're not going to meet with a man who some have referred to him as the hero of the anti-apartheid movement, a man who served 27 years for denouncing apartheid? You mean to tell me you don't plan on meeting with such a man, with Nelson Mandela? You know, many would be outraged by hearing that.
Well, would they be outraged in hearing that I'm just a little man? I'm not no big man like that, brother. Tell you this, put that phone on mute so these people can hear my answer to that. What I'm trying to tell you, man, is I'm not even no big man like that, where I would even consider myself so important where I had to meet with Nelson Mandela. Now, and he's a subject of controversy. I'm trying to just give the man some respect. But, you know, his policies are controversial, and they are being judged in history as being harsh and not really producing true freedom and independence, and harsh on his people. So I'm not going over near no Nelson Mandela. I'm trying to respect my elder, and I do respect my elder. All those who love Nelson Mandela, I respect the struggle and the time in jail that Nelson Mandela sent. But to a great degree, sir, his policies are outmoded, and true liberation must come. True liberation must come. Now, Winnie Mandela, I don't have any plans to meet with her, but if God would bless me to meet with her, I would really love that, because I respect that sister, that queen, and I don't like the way they persecuted that sister.
and others. But I am not interested in no ANC. I'm not against them at all. I have nothing to do with no anti-ANC policies. ANC runs the country. I respect them. They are my African brothers and sisters. But straight up, I'm rolling in here with the PAC, because it's PAC.
What is the difference?
One settler, one bullet. That's what said I'm claiming. I'm throwing up that PAC out here. Now, let me get off this line and go get me some PAC. I will let you in, let me do this, though. Yeah, let me just get my man on the line right now. Y'all take up this time for a minute, and let me get me some Africa on the line. I'll come right back.
All right, Black Power. Brother Deshaun Farage, you're going to hang in tight, brother. I know you're in motion in the traffic. We'll have you on for the remainder of the interview as we wait to pull on the PAC and representatives from the Pan-African Congress. Brother Deshaun Farage, tell us what you think about that interview, some of the answers that were given, your thoughts. Deshaun Farage, you still on with us? All right. Well, somebody let me know. Somebody let me know I can be heard. I may just be. Just
oh, talking. Can you hear me?
Oh yes, sir. I can hear you now. Yes, sir. I can hear you now.
What I was saying, yes, sir. What I was saying, Attorney Shabazz did exactly what those of us in the media world expected him to do. He's always concise, straightforward, from the cuff. He's obviously media trained. He gave a very detailed description of his purpose or his intentions on visiting the region, visiting South Africa. Okay, many people, you know, I believe that he actually put asleep any possible doubts that critics, actually not possible doubts, but possible and certain doubts that critics have already expressed.
Yes, sir. Okay. What do you see as the importance of this move? Why should the new Black Panther Party, I mean, it sounds like an obvious question, but why should we at this time, in your opinion, sir, move into South Africa and make these connections and get the kind of training that we're getting? Why now?
Well, as Dr. John Hill, I already quoted Dr. W.B. Du Bois. He says that if we lose Africa, we lose everything. But let me quote what Dr. John Henry Clark stated. I'm paraphrasing. He said that everything the people of African descent in the diaspora do should be centered around Africa. Every group of people has a homeland that they can claim. Africa is our homeland. And it's common sense. You have to establish strong alliances with roots, with your roots. And since the new Black Panther Party, most of the people affiliated with the organization refer to themselves as Black nationalists and Pan-Africans, why wouldn't the Black Panther Party want to visit Africa? Every leader to come amongst us, I should say every significant leader to come amongst us who was visible, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Minister Louis Farrakhan, et cetera, W.E.B. Du Bois, they all told us that we should visit back home. We should visit Africa. Not only visit, but we should establish alliances between us over here throughout the diaspora and our brothers and sisters in Africa. If you remember the old Muhammad Speaks paper, you saw some brothers and sisters outstretching their hands from America to our brothers and sisters in Africa.
Yes, sir.
So for me, it's a common sense move. But I was very curious what the chairman's perspective was concerning President Obama sending troops to 40 African countries. And most of President Obama's Black supporters, his unconditional Black supporters, are not addressing the fact that he's upgraded AFRICOM or strengthened AFRICOM. And for people who don't know what AFRICOM is, that stands for the African Command. It was actually set up, I believe, by President Bush, and it's ran by an American naval admiral. But this was actually to look out for U.S. interests in Africa, on the continent of Africa. But many people have said that AFRICOM serves to exploit the resources of Africa, which have been taking place for centuries and centuries. So that was, so I was very interested to hear what he had to say about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, and so why do you think that the criticisms are coming the way that they're coming? It would seem like that most of the critics would want the new Black Panther Party and Dr. Shabazz to make this kind of move. Why do you think the criticisms are coming like that? That people may not understand or what have you.
Well, unfortunately, folks are always going to have things to say. And the critics that I was telling the chairman about, I wasn't just speaking about whites. I'm talking about from within our own community, people who may misunderstand the direction of this trip or the direction of the new Black Panther Party in general, people who may disagree with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. It might be some jealousy, might be some envy because they're not doing it. Okay, it might, people just always have something to say. But my point is, don't ask, well, what is the new Black Panther Party doing or why are they going over there? What are you doing? Why aren't you going to Africa?
Right, that's right. That's right. The number to call, brothers and sisters, 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We're going to take some of your calls. You're on here live with Sean Kwali and Deshaun Farad from Your Black World. We'll take your calls right now. Press the number one to put in queue, and then we'll wait for our national chairman to come back with us as he's bringing on members of the Pan-African Congress. Pan-African Congress right from South Africa. Let's go to our first caller tonight at area code 302-438. 302-438, you're on live with Black Power Radio. Give us your question, your comment. We're talking about South Africa, Black Power.
Black Power, Assalamu alaikum. This is Saray Muhammad. I'm just excited. I'm enjoying every bit of it. That pastor, Ted Freeman Sutton, that brother is fired up. I just want to salute everybody tonight. I mean, he got me fired up.
Pastor Ted Sutton ain't no joke.
Yes, and for me coming from New York under the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as a young female woman back in, we were fired up. We were just like he said. We didn't fear nobody but God alone. We were on it like that. What happened, like he said, it had to be put back into our youth. It had to be put back into our youth. The fear. We had no fear. We would walk down the streets with no fear. And we all know back then, when Honorable Elijah Muhammad said something, we all clicked our heels. That's the kind of old school I come from. So I just want to say I'm excited. I thank each and every one of all the speakers. And your brothers, your people are doing the same thing and doing the right thing. Black power.
Black power. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. I love y'all.
Love you too, and thank you so much for the call. And that's just a testament. People are fired up all across the country. The chairman says that he's ready, and so we're waiting for him to just click back on in. Brother Chairman, go ahead and click back in and press that number one. We'll pull you right back on. But that's just a testament, brothers and sisters, that people are fired up and they are ready. And so now let's bring the national chairman back on, as he has on with him members from the Pan-African Congress. Brother Chairman, are you on with us?
Yes, I'm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yes, sir.
All right, Comrade MCA, are you on?
Yes, Comrade.
Okay, dear brothers and sisters, first of all, I thank you, Minister Sean Kwali, and Brother Deshaun Farah for holding it down.
Sure.
Brothers and sisters in the radio listening audience, I have a very special guest I'm about to bring on. And I will also be in New York City, I must let you know, speaking on this subject of the new Black Panther Party delegation to Azania, South Africa, to Azania, or so-called South Africa. To Azania, I will be there discussing the Sharpeville commemoration and why I'm going to there to speak at the Sharpeville commemoration, guest of the Pan-African Congress and the men who I'm about to bring on. I will speak on this subject, as well as the subject of building a Black United Front in New York and dealing with police terrorism. And we will gather at the Brooklyn Christian Center this Saturday at 5 p.m., March 9th, 5 p.m., in 1061 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. 1061 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. I will be dealing with Africa,
our travels to Africa for the Sharpeville commemoration, our tour of Zania and Zimbabwe. We're talking about Mugabe also this Saturday at the Brooklyn Christian Center, 1061 Atlantic Avenue. Come on out. We're building that Black United Front, and we're dealing with the police terrorism in New York City. Now, listen very closely, dear brothers and sisters. We have a very special guest. He is a lifetime organizer with the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. He is a veteran freedom fighter against the apartheid movement and a former national organizer with the Pan-Africanist Congress. And we don't want to get all caught up too much in the labels. When you hear Pan-Africanist Congress, when you hear ZAPO, those are labels and titles. They are very important, like NVPP is here, Nation of Islam here. But we're meeting brothers who have been fighting for the liberation of our people. We're meeting brothers who are in part of the whole makeup of a nation that needs leadership and have been serving hard for our people, fighting to give them leadership, dedicated leadership. So I want you now to hear from our comrade in CA from the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, a lifetime organizer with the PAC. Comrade, how you doing this evening?
No, I'm well and myself, comrade.
All right, it's an honor to have you on and to be on so early in the morning. How are things for you in Azania?
No, things are okay for me in Azania. As we'll be commemorating the Sharpeville, as the member of the Pan-Africanist Congress, who sees the liberation of Africa as very crucial. Africa spreading beyond the borders of Africa, throughout where Africans are. That's where that is how the PAC sees the Pan-Africanism.
And I want to say this. Let me get my phone right here. I want to say, comrade, tell us about Sharpeville, because we've been talking about Sharpeville. But let our listeners know here on Black Power Radio, what is the importance of Sharpeville? Why a Sharpeville commemoration? And what relevance does it have in the year 2013?
Okay. Firstly, if I'll give the background of Sharpeville, it is a campaign started by the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. But before that, the PAC was formed in 1959 on April 6, 1959. April 6, it is the day when Jan van Riebeck arrived in our country, when they started colonizing our country in April 6, 1652. So the PAC was founded on that day, April 6, 1959, as the Ship of Freedom. Now, firstly, it started with a campaign called Status Campaign to liberate the mind of the African people. It started with that because it said that the colonial settlers used the media and education and discriminatory laws. The minority government of South Africa had psychologically made the Africans to feel, to suffer an inferiority complex. Hence now it started with that status campaign to exorcise slave mentality. But now, as it planned, Sharpeville, it said because South Africa then seemed to be impregnable, but it was very weak in terms of because it relies on the cheap black economy. Now, what they did, they said in order to liberate the mind of the Africans, they must first start with the patch laws, because the patch laws were affecting Africans throughout. It controlled their movement, and it enslaved the Africans. Hence now the campaign was firstly to demand the abolition of patch laws, and to demand also the minimum wage for the African people, because there were disparities. The white people were getting more than 35 pounds per month as opposed to 8 pounds per month as Africans. So those were the terms laid down. But it started also from the National Working Committee of the PAC, headed by the late President Mangaliso Sobukwe, resolved at its National Working Committee meeting on the 13th of September to start a positive action campaign, which they resolved at the national conference on the 19th to the 20th, 1959, to start with this. And then, of course, they invited all, they invited the ANC and other parties, those who were opposed to apartheid, but now those did not come. But what happened is that when the PAC marched, it prepared the people to organize. Firstly, it said people to organize food, to organize money to save when they will be engaged in the campaign. So they did that. They saved, people saved, and they said our African women should stay at home, and then men should march, go to all police stations to be arrested, to tell the police that they do not have passes, because the passes were affecting the Africans. But the idea was that because the African people were in the majority and they were the ones who were workers, it would affect the economy. That was the first strategy, to affect the economy of South Africa. And by that, they would weaken the state. But what happened is that about 84 people were murdered in Sharpeville on that day, and others in Langa, throughout the country. That is the campaign of led by the Pan-Africanist Congress. As we celebrate, as we commemorate it today, we are calling upon all the youth, because the youth are the succeeding generation who must maintain the tempo and the noble continuity of a struggle, to be motivated so that they may be able to reach our Pan-Africanist goal. Because as today, we have not yet reached what we fought for, what the people of Sharpeville died for, we have not achieved. In 1994, that was just, it has just changed the form, but the content remained the same. The African people still continue to suffer in Azania and throughout the continent. So we are saying that the Sharpeville, as we commemorate, must mark the second liberation of Africa, which will liberate the entire continent from neo-colonialism and imperialism. And we are calling upon all our brothers and sisters in the diaspora to also join the march towards the United States of Africa. That is how we finish up building today.
Now that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot, dear comrade. Brothers and sisters in the radio listening audience, you're listening to our friends in the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, our friends from so-called South Africa, who are on the line here, Comrade Nsia, who is here by way of Brother Chris Sankar, who has been working hard, and others in the PAC. You're hearing live from our family in Azania. They are live from Azania right now here on Black Power Radio, telling you about Sharpeville, telling you about the wicked past laws that dehumanized Africans at the hands of an illegal colonialist white majority. He's here talking about a conscious raising campaign where he had to liberate the minds of black people. What is he telling you, black man and woman? That the same thing the white man did to you and me here, he did to the black man and woman in so-called South Africa. The same way he destroyed our minds and set up everything where white was right and white was on the top and black was on the bottom. The same thing he did over there, same thing he did right here. And so, comrade, and much more we're talking about now. He says a long march to the United States of Africa, and that's part of why we're going. It's coming out now. We believe in this United States of Africa and a land of our own, and our hope is in Africa, and we support that aim from our strategic position in the diaspora. Comrade, why the new Black Panther Party? Why us? Why invite us?
Yes, we invite you because you are part of us. We've invited you so that we may be able to march together, because you also represent what we envisage as the Pan-Africanists, the total liberation of the black man throughout the world. If I may say, if I may take among other leading Pan-Africanists like Comrade Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana, who took the blacks, who combined the black star of Marcus Garvey and then took the Ethiopian flag and put together, where he said, the black star, if you are an African, where you are, wherever you are suffering, you should not allow those conditions. You can even shine under difficult conditions towards the emancipation of the black man. So we share the same aspiration with you. That is why we've invited you in Azania.
And we thank you so much. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, just for some clarity, and then you can help me, comrade, and help me out, Minister Sean. In our schedule in Azania, we're going to be blessed to speak at the Sharpeville commemoration, blessed to participate in all of the very important ceremonies and the visit to the grave sites and the other historical and cultural and valuable information that you can only experience by being there. We'll be blessed to be there to study on those hallowed grounds and to be a part of the history where a man whom we are helping to introduce to our brothers and sisters in America, Comrade Robert Mangaliso Sobukwe, and helping our brothers and sisters here in America to even understand him greater and to understand him in the way that they understand and even need to understand more, Comrade Stephen Biko and Patrice Lumumba and other great Africans who fought for our liberation, who are like prophets to us and that we admire. We're going to be on those grounds on the 21st. They say on the 20th, they are going to, our friends who are inviting us are giving us a hero's welcome at the airport where we'll be arriving. Then we leave and we participate in many activities of importance in Sharpeville. Then it concludes with a mass rally. And then we do fact-finding the next day on the 22nd. We're scheduled to do fact-finding and go right into Soweto to see the condition of our people and how they are living 20 years up from so-called independence in South Africa that was to have been delivered 20 years ago with the so-called end of white colonial rule. Let's go take a look and see the difference for ourselves. And been invited other places also on the 22nd, important places that I'm not going to go into on this phone line. We have been invited to universities in Pretoria on the 23rd to speak with the students and the Pan-African student youth movement and the student revolutionaries over in South Africa on the 21st, 2nd, 23rd. And on the 24th, we're scheduled to be back in Soweto for other organizing activities and mobilizing activities and key meetings and some things that have been set up for us that I ain't going to go all into on this phone line either. But it's good things for the liberation of our people. So we got a full schedule before we go into Zimbabwe after that and other areas that are on our schedule also in Azania. So it's a beautiful schedule. I just want to lay that schedule out and thank you, comrades, for even considering the way that we have been able to work together. Tell us this, our comrade.
Yes, comrade.
Yes. Tell us, Minister Sean, are you on?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Tell us a bit more about the character and the personality of Robert Mangaliso Sobukwe. Tell us about him and what kind of man he was and why he is so important to our level of consciousness if we want to understand Azania, South Africa.
Yes. Sobukwe was the greatest leader ever to be produced in Azania. He lived ahead of his time. He was an outright Pan-Africanist who has concretely analyzed the conditions of the Africans in the continent and throughout the world, having shown that here in Azania, our problem begins from the expansion of European colonial markets, which has led to the robbery of Africa, and which has led for Africans to be denuded of Africa, where Africans were taken in a mass chattel slavery. But now he has said that we must advance towards the continental unity. Sobukwe, in front of the colonial settlers, he told them clear straight that the PAC was fighting for the overthrow of white domination and establishment of an African socialist democracy. But South Africa was an integral part, or Azania was an integral part of the whole continent of Africa. So it was fighting for the United States of Africa. And also what has happened is that Sobukwe was a unique character in South Africa, where there's been a law named after him because of his level of advancement. When he was imprisoned in Robben Island, he was isolated. He was greater than all the Mandelas of this world. He was isolated and he was poisoned because he was a visionary. And what the colonial settler did in terms of Sobukwe and the Pan-Africanist Congress, they also instituted what they called Snyman Commission. In the Snyman Commission, where they said that the Pan-Africanist Congress was a cancer that must be exterminated in Azania, because the Pan-Africanist Congress, according to them, by demanding back their land, they were going to take what the white man has gained over more than 300 years. So hence, the Pan-Africanist Congress was a cancer. And what they did, they said they must use laws beyond criminal procedures, like keeping Sobukwe completed his sentence. But now they used the laws beyond criminal procedures by keeping him while they were slowly poisoning him, because of his revolutionary outlook. This is the kind of a man Sobukwe was. And what they said they must use the ANC to keep the PAC out of South African life, because the PAC represented the fundamental aspiration of the fundamental aspirations of the African people. They kept him in prison, and they refused to give him medication. They even refused, even when he was released, to give him an exit permit. Verwoerd said they wanted this man to stay beside the eternity, in prison, beside the eternity, even in this life. That is why even today people do not know much about Sobukwe. Sobukwe was one of the greatest leaders, greater than Mandela. He was equal to the Kwame Nkrumahs and all the great Pan-Africanists in the world. He was one of the greatest leaders who said the liberation of Africa lies the liberation of the whole world, because the black men throughout Africa and in the diaspora are the most exploited, oppressed and exploited people. Hence the liberation of the oppressed and exploited African masses lies the liberation of the entire world. So this is the kind of leader Sobukwe was.
All right. Dear brothers and sisters, you're hearing it for yourself. I know you wish you were going where I'm going, March 19th through March 27th. Don't you want to go home? I know you wish that you would have prepared properly, and there's still a small window of time for those who qualify. Because I'm on my way to Azania to be with this black man and to be with my friends and to return home. And I feel so good right now. And I feel so good and excited about this trip and excited to know that we will be able to help the great works in the name of Robert Sobukwe. We want to make his commission known.
we can still help to resurrect and give our heroes and sheroes through the use of technology and proper propaganda. We can help reintroduce them to a new generation. And so the students, Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and another sense, the students of Huey P. Newton and the students of Kwame Ture and the students of Minister Malcolm X, yes, and the students of Khalid Muhammad, and on another level, even the little nephews of Louis Farrakhan, we are headed to South Africa to meet with the students of Robert Sobukwe and the sons of great liberators and freedom fighters in Africa. It's a great homecoming. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to the phone lines. And let me say this before we open up these lines. You should go to newblackpanther.com, www.newblackpanther.com. Read about this for yourself and hear this broadcast for yourself. But you should foremost hit the PayPal button and right now donate and help us in this critical mission. If all that you have heard over the last hour and a half, if you don't believe by now in all that you have heard and you are hearing, then you are not fit for this struggle, and you should leave this struggle. If you don't believe by now and will not stand up and support this mission, then what we're doing is crying on death, that we're doing is crying out to deaf ears. And I know that we're not. I know that you see the importance of this mission. I know that you are hearing it live from Africa yourself. Go to that website and help Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz. Help the new Black Panther Party. Help Dr. College students get there, man. Go in there and hit that PayPal button on newblackpanther.com. Give us 100, 500, 1,000. Purchase our revolutionary services. We're giving you liberation services you can't purchase nowhere on the earth. We've worked 20-some-odd years to get to this point. Go to newblackpanther.com, and don't make me beg with my guests on the line. You show them that the black man and woman of America is not weak and that you back the only Pan-Africanist group you got doing this and putting a delegation out there like this. Now, let's go to the phone line.
All right. Callers, thank you so much for holding the number to call 646-478-4447 and press 1 to be in queue. Let's go to our first caller here, Eric Cole, 347-272-347-272. You're on live with Black Power Radio. National Chairman Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and our guest from the Pan-African Congress. Talk to us. Black Power, welcome.
Peace and Black Power, my brothers, my sisters, my comrades. How you doing, my national spokesman, Sean Kwali? Can you hear me, Sean?
Yes, sir. Can hear you well, sir. We're on with you. Peace. Peace. The chairman is
alive. Peace and much love to you, my national chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz. Man, y'all brought a powerful show today, man. I'm feeling really inspired. Pastor Ted Sutton did his thing, man. He really inspired me, shared a lot of things with me, man. I just want to remind everybody, as y'all been saying, this delegation and this trip, this initiative to Tanzania, the proper name of South Africa, is very important. I want to remind all my brothers and there to give what you can to support this initiative, man. We need to come together. We need to support each other and stop spending our money on foolish things and collectively pool our money for things that really matter.
I
really don't know what to say now. I'm just so fired. I'm just so touched by all you brothers, Brother Deshaun, Farad, everybody that came on today, man. This is a very powerful initiative, man. I'm with it. I'm going to support this as much as I can. Malik Zulu Shabazz, you know we are ready to receive you in New York on March 9th. I am putting the word out there to make sure that we will have a definite powerful presence there, you know what I'm saying, so we could spread the word to the people and keep on moving. One thing I do want to say is I keep asking this question, and I keep getting a lot of resistance, man. Those of you who are afraid and those of you who do not have enough love and do not believe in what we are doing in the new Black Panther Party, we as Pan-Africanists and black nationalists, if y'all do not believe what we're doing, then get out of our way, man. Let us do the work, man. The time is now, man. The time is now.
Thank
those
you
who
so much.
Believe, step up and make it happen.
Thank you so much. That's brother. That's my right-hand man in New York City, Brother Shah, and all of them. We will be out with Yah, Oba, and all of them pushing hard in the streets right now to bring me in to the Brooklyn Christian Center this Saturday in New York, where
all of the revolutionaries and activists will be gathered, and we'll be talking about Africa and talking about a united front in New York, and I'm keeping my word to keep New York going. Let's go to our guest on the line, though, here from the Pan-African Congress of Azania, is our comrade at CA, who has spoke beautifully and brilliantly tonight, enlightening us on the struggle. Let's see if we can squeeze in a couple of more questions. Let's see if we can get some Huey Rose on to get his report, because Huey is scheduled to speak in Cape Town. While I'm speaking in Chopville, there's another major rally in Cape Town, and so we have an international ambassador in England who is going directly in there, because we are an international organization, and when we have international obligations, then we go to our international organization for our international mobilization. Is Huey in the queue?
Let's see if this is Huey Rose. Huey Rose, you on live with us?
Yes, come on.
Brother Huey, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
That's in CA, comrade in CA. We're looking for Huey Rose from England.
Huey Rose,
and he put
England.
His hand up, or he's coming calling for one of them 011 numbers.
He's we're looking for him now. He's not in queue yet. He's going to put his hand up.
Let me see what he's saying on text. Hold one second. But I definitely want to get him in before the time runs, because he's got an important role here. Let's see what he's saying. He's saying, please link him now. He's 0044-208. 0044-208.
Yeah, that's... He's going to tell him press 1, because that's not... That's not
press 1,
up.
Huey. Press 1 and come on in the queue, Huey. Look for that 0044 at 208.
Searching him out right now.
All right, while we're looking for Huey, we're going to try to get Huey in. For those of you who couldn't make it, I'm sorry. But, you know, we're coming back on Thursday night. For the next few weeks, we're going to be on Mondays and Thursdays. And so, and we're not going to wear Sean out. It's going to have to be some
Deshaun
Farrar or some of these other guys.
Everybody.
Will come on in and interview. Maybe King Shabazz. But on Thursday, we need to come back and we need to drive on this telethon. Do you have Huey?
Don't have him yet, sir. We're still looking for him. He's not in
the
queue.
Let me see what he's saying. Hold 1 second. He swears he's in the chat room. I'm reading my text right now.
We don't have no kind of international number right now.
You have no international numbers. Huey, call back and get in queue, man. We'll try to work it.
Huey Rose, you on live with us? All right, I'm going to try to find him, Brother Chairman.
All
right,
well,
I'm not lying.
Let's go to another call and try to get Huey and come right back to him.
Okay, sir. Let's, as we wait for Mr. Huey Rose, we'll take another call here at area code, another 347 number, 347-664. 347-664, you're on live with Black Power Radio and Dr. Malik Zubu Shabazz and our guest, Brother NCA from the Pan-African Congress. Talk to us, Black Power. You want to call it 347-664? Might just
keep it moving. Keep it moving.
Next caller, area code 504-432. 504-432, you're on live, Black Power Radio, with all our guests. Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power. Y'all doing a good job. Brother Malik, this is a question for you. Are you patterning the new Black Panther Party after Malcolm's group, the Organization of African American Unity?
The answer to that is yes. That's not the only example we take from and draw from, but certainly we are Malcolm's children, and certainly I'm a Malcolm man, and my predecessor, Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, was a man that certainly drew from Malcolm. And we like Minister Malcolm X's program in the OAAU, his platform, and his emphasis on Black nationalism, on Pan-Africanism. That's a base. That was a base of the early Panther Party work. That was a base of SNCC's work, or Kwame's work, H.Rap Brown. All the great nationalist work come from our father in the nationalist movement, our prophet, Minister Malcolm X. So the answer is yes, black man. Yes, other things we draw from, but certainly we right in there with Minister Malcolm.
Okay. All right, Brother
yes, sir.
Powell.
All right, we with you, black man. For all of those who love Minister Malcolm X, you got a home right here. For those who love Marcus Mosai-Garvey, we run his program right here. We're in that Garvey mindset right here. Come on, let's see. We don't have Huey. We get him back on Thursday. I want maybe our guests to be able to ask a question, and then we'll go to our final announcement.
Okay, no Huey yet. Huey is not on at all. We don't have a chat room open, so I don't know what chat room he's in, but he's not on this
chat. I think. Well, that's all right. We'll get him on as a guest. He don't have to call in. We'll just make him a guest on Thursday night, and we're gonna run. Let's see if there's any more questions for our guest. We're gonna close out with some announcements.
Okay, sir. We'll take another call here for our guest at area code 562-239, 562-239. You're on live Black Power Radio. Give us your question, your comment for our guest, Brother NCA, the Pan-African Congress, and Dr. Malik Zubaz, our national chairman. Black Power, welcome, caller.
Black Power, brother, national spokesman, and assalamu alaikum, brother.
Black
Power,
salam,
brother, chairman, and assalamu alaikum, brother Vernon X, right out here in Los Angeles.
Go ahead.
Brother, I'm just having such a good time, brother. The show is just so inspiring, brother. But one thing, I'm just so sorry I'm not on this delegation going to South Africa. I wish I could go, but I can't at this time. But, brother, you have all my support and love, brother. And, you know, our prayers are with you. Shoot, go and come safely, brother. You and Brother Sean and everybody. And, brother,
so
this show is just awesome, brother. It's just so inspiring and so educational, brother. I'm learning so much, brother, with your speakers, and brother, I appreciate how you handled my man that was asking you the questions, because he sort of sounded like an informant to me. You know what I mean? Asking you all these silly questions pertaining to.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
Now let me say something about that. First of all, it's good to talk with you, Brother Vernon. I love you. And let me say this. No, the Dashaun Farad is nobody's informant. I told Dashaun Farad that when he come on for the interview that I wanted him to challenge me. Because I tell him that because it's a lot of people, right, that have those kind of questions that sneak around on Facebook and other and take other venues and take little hot shots at us. And so Farad is in those networks and he picks up on those questions. So I tell him, you bring them questions and you ask me them questions.
Yes,
and
sir.
And so our critics, so I told Farad to do that. I told him, don't give me no softballs. I want you to challenge me because I should be challenged.
But let me say this, brother. I stand corrected, and I apologize, brother.
No, sir, no, you have nothing to apologize for. That's a good observation you made because anybody who heard that, I like your spirit. You're like, who the hell is this Negro asking us questions?
Yeah,
I understand. You got that strong spirit. I just want to let you know that that's part of what we do here on Black Power Radio. We have sometimes different opinions, and we have a little debate. We have to liven it up some.
Yes, sir,
right.
Brother.
So do you have a question for our guest, though?
I do not. I just had a comment, brother. Just thank you for allowing me on, brother. Be safe, brother. I love is with you, brother. And, and Black Power.
Okay. And then what I'm going to do here,
your phone's breaking up, Brother Chairman.
What I'm going to do is allow my guest to say some parting words to us as we close out, and I want to thank him so much. Comrade NCA, do you have any parting words for us?
Yes, comrade. The parting words is that we really thank you for the work you are doing there, raising the flag of the Black Power and Pan-Africanism. We thank you for that. And also by raising the plight of the African people throughout the world. So we thank you. What I can say is that understanding that we call this country Azania because South Africa came through the South African Act of 1909, passed by the British government, which meant the union of the British and the Afrikaners against the indigenous people. So it was renewed to be called South Africa. And then it was said, South Africa is a land of the white man. So we still call it Azania today because we have not yet reached the liberated Azania. We are moving greatly to advance toward that. And what you are saying today, what is happening in our country today, it is just nothing has changed. It's just the form that has changed, but the content remains the same. So we say advance that struggle and also support the Zimbabwean struggle, because we know that in Zimbabwe, Comrade Mugabe is doing a good work. It is the imperialists who have made him a demon throughout the world, because he says the wealth of Africa must go to the African people. We know it is the British who are doing that. Even here in our country, as an example, I may say, there was that where 34 workers were shot dead at Marikana. In Marikana, those mines, you know, are still being owned by Queen Elizabeth. He has the larger shares. And all who are appearing, Africans who are appearing there, are just the puppets. They are just the buffer. So we are saying continue doing the great work, and we hope to see you in Azania.
All right. Thank you so much, my brother. We're looking forward to joining you March 19th through the 27th. Love you, comrade. I'm going to let you go. And, man, all I can say is a malang way to... That's all I have to say as I leave out of here, and Black Power, to let my guests go. Thank you so much for coming on, comrade, and I'll just call you back in a few days as we talk about our arrival. Thank you so much. We bow to you, sir.
Thank you, comrade.
Thank you. All right, I'll let you go. Sean, let me stay off for a minute.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, you got it. All right, Black Power brothers and sisters, we're going to have to, I guess, call the chairman back. He say, let's stay on. He hangs up. But we'll get him back on so he can give some parting words, if possible. Let me try to hit him up real quick. Let's see if I can get him on real fast. Everybody just hold tight, because I know he wants to say a few words to us. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You on right now. Hold on 1 second. Let me... pull you on. All right, brothers and sisters, let's okay. Go ahead with your parting words, Brother Chen.
All right, newblackpanther.com, brothers and sisters. Spread the word. Put it on all your flyers, your Facebook. If you're in this New Black Panther Party, you should be flying our South Africa flags. Everything that your leadership has on this profile page and what it's pushing, you should be pushing. Go there and for those our supporters, and help put some green in this black machine so I can get all the right security and accommodations and bring the right soldiers I need with me. Now, I can't be out here begging. I hate to get on this radio even asking for money, but y'all forced me to do it because you should just already automatically be doing it if you want to get what we have to deliver. Now, we'll take a few more questions because maybe some of y'all are crazy enough to ask me. Well, some other people, they'd be like, well, why Africa? Why Africa? We got Huey. Huey can join us in this post-online conversation as we continue on. But why Africa? What about what we're going to do for us over here? And, yeah, we've been here with you 11 years and every month. We're going over there for 7 days. And when we're right here, anyway, let me not clear up my answer. For any of those who got that question, let me know. Let me know, because right now my position is that the New Black Panther Party and that I and what we're doing deserve strong support in every way. Anyway, let's go to some more questions.
Okay, sir, brothers and sisters, we're now in the post show, streaming live. We're getting as many as we can. We've got area code 203-441, 203-441. You're on live Black Power Radio. And our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz, talk to us. Black Power, welcome, caller.
Black Power.
Black Power. Is this Huey?
Black Power. Black Power.
All right.
Black Power.
Black Power, Huey.
203.
Yeah,
okay.
What's happening? I come every time for the last 3 weeks. I can't. I'm being muted.
Nobody knows your number, Blackman. You're on a 203 area code. So we got your number in here now. This is the number you're gonna be on.
Yeah, but it's a 0044 number. It's an international number.
It doesn't show up like that, Blackman. You got a question? Come on, get in this conversation, brother. What's happening?
Well, I just want to commend you and commend the national chairman for putting on a strong show.
Sir.
Unfortunately, I really wanted to interject with some things, but as the international ambassador, I am looking forward to coming to Azania. And
we're looking for...
Sorry, sir?
Well, I was going to say, thank you for reporting back to work, sir.
in Islamic terms, I'll say to you,
you can punch your time clock in the lobby of the headquarters. Thank you for reporting back to work.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. And how are you, my dear brother? How are you, my dear friend?
Fantastic, beloved.
Good to talk to you,
but, I'm wondering if somebody was blocking me from getting through.
No, we were fighting to get you on. No,
in
all seriousness, you and I.
Or...
Let me tell the listeners what's happening. Hugh and I are good friends, and we go back, and so I get to tease him a little bit. But the main thing, sisters and brothers, is I want y'all to take us seriously, for real. Huey Rose is the international ambassador of the new Black Panther Party. It's Brother Huey Rose that has put a lot of miles in flying to Africa continuously before we even went to Africa. It is Brother Huey Rose who is going to Cape Town. He's the man that I trust and have appointed to go to Cape Town to speak on our behalf. While we are in Shotfield, he has been chosen for that assignment, and he will be helping us and also part of our international delegation. He's in England. He's in London. And we got some brothers from France that have been calling us and also that have been left with us. So let me come back to you, Mr. Ambassador. Tell us about importance of this trip. Tell us about the importance of this trip, how you see it, and what this trip means to you. And,
well, first and foremost,
yeah.
I would like to give a big congratulations and a celebration on behalf of the new Black Panther Party for the Earth Day of the Honorable Robert Mugabe. And on behalf of the new Black Panther Party, we wish him a blessed Earth Day and hopes that he can run to the strong age of 100 years old. I believe he may be 87 years old today, but I may be wrong. And
is this his birthday today?
It's his birthday today. And
man, that's really nice.
And I believe he's 87. And if there's any Zimbabwean listener, if they can call me and correct me,
I think he's
89,
sir.
89. Sorry. My apologies. And at the ripe old age of 89, I am saying to all of our listeners, and I'm saying to the whole of Zimbabwe, long live Robert Mugabe. Long live Robert Mugabe. Going back to your initial question, obviously, I'm excited about going to Azania and going to Zimbabwe. One of the reasons being is that I have traveled on behalf of the new Black Panther Party all over the world, but I've never been to the southern part of Africa. I've gone to Libya, Egypt, Senegal, Gambia, Kenya, and north, east, west but I've never been to South. So I'm honored that we have the invitation for myself and the delegation to travel to the southern part of Africa. And there's been a lot of stuff here in the news about southern Africa, and I believe that the new Black Panther Party can make some impact in regards to the recent situations that have been going on, like the Marikama miners' deaths and also the recent death of a brother from Mozambique that was handcuffed and dragged by a police van in South Africa, similar to a situation that happened in America, in Texas, where a brother was dragged to his death also. And so, because we've got the experience of that, we know best how to address it. And so I'm looking forward to addressing the situation on March the 21st, which I think will be my first official engagement, and any other engagement that I'm required to do on behalf of the new Black Panther Party. I'm excited about it. Black power.
Sir. All right, Brother Huey, it's great to have you. I want you to come back and join us and co-host the show. Maybe you'll co-host this Black Power Radio Special Africa Edition on Thursday night. Yeah, that's right, for those who are listening. More and more Africa. I know some of you are tired of it. We're going to Africa you out of here.
Right. Can I say something controversial?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Can I say something controversial?
I mean, when have you ever not?
I was listening to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan Saviour's Day speech, and one of his comments was about not being in Africa at this moment in time. And I would say that there's never a time not to be in Africa. We should be in Africa at all times.
Right, but you say what now? What you say?
In the Saviour's Day speech that you attended,
yeah,
part of the conversation by Minister Louis Farrakhan was that it wasn't a good time to be going to Africa. That was part of.
I don't remember him saying that. I don't remember that.
I know. Well, if you review the tape, I went over it twice. He was suggesting that we be in America and look after home, even though what's gone over for the 400 years. My take on that is that we always need to be in Africa. And if we go back to the book, The Fall of America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives you clear instructions on the fall of America. So if America is going to be falling, it means that the Negro in America needs to have a plan B on how to remove themselves from the fall of America. And I
To be honest, I don't see. What were you going to say? Let me let you complete your statement. Go ahead.
So I believe, in essence, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote the book, The Fall of America, he was also indicating that you must have a plan B when America falls of where you're going to be. And so that's why in the Muhammad Speaks, the handshake of America to Africa was indicating that we need to look for a home outside of home, meaning a second home. And so I believe it's relevant for us as Africans from the diaspora to be seeking the second home as a result of what's going to be happening in Europe and in America, as a result of the instructions that was given by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his book, The Fall of America.
Well, I'm so happy to say that you're so hardcore Elijah Muhammad today. But thank you so
much.
Let's take a look at your question. Now, you're an important question, but I would make a distinction, brother. I'm going to take your question seriously and clarify for the radio listening audience. Now, I was there at Minister Louis Farrakhan's Savior's Day speech, and Minister Sean was too. So if I were to analyze this speech, I would say that really what Minister Farrakhan said really is very much in line with what you just said. If you take all of his statements in context, if you take all of the time that he spent talking about Africa, maybe about 15 minutes, and what he said in the cumulative or the holistic sense and summarize all the statements, very clearly he was giving a two-pronged solution, which was right in line with Elijah's teaching. Matter of fact, I have to say that his entire speech, most of the line was Elijah straight out the book. Now, he talked about Africa. He defended Africa. He talked about China and equitable relations in Africa and exploitation and military threats on Africa by the United States, as well as the promise of Africa for the black man and woman. But he also did state that this is ours here in America as well when you're dealing with the land and the day-to-day question. And so, as you say, Elijah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that we must have a separate land or territory of our own either here or elsewhere. And we clearly know that elsewhere is Africa. And so I would say that his speech supported your position. It was the same thing. To say otherwise is not really the way it was. He wasn't saying stay out of Africa. He said build here and build there, build everywhere, and let's take control is what I heard coming from the mouth of Louis Farrakhan a few days ago, who is your leader. I accept, as we know from all your Facebook pages, he's your leader, teacher, and guide, sir.
Well, my brother, I accept your explanation, I accept your understanding of what he said, but it was just from my vantage point of what I heard. And but if it's on the same page,
rewind that tape.
Down
rewind
the same
it. Just
page.
Play that tape. Consider what I said and watch that tape one more time.
Yes, well, I salute you, sir, for breaking down the explanation to me, and I will follow your instructions and listen to the tape again, sir.
Yeah, or in general, well, we don't have to really tie up. I mean, if you can, that's fine. But what we're saying here, I'm making not just trying to get down to the details and the nitpick with you, Brother Huey. I'm really trying to speak to the larger audience to try to get us to look at what's really important in the black nation. And let's look at the big picture. Louis Farrakhan The Honorable Louis Farrakhan is on our side. I'm talking to the black man and woman of America. Overall, he's on our side. You have some people that pick at him and pick at something he may be doing, and some of them may even have a point or two when you get down to the science of it. But you have to look at what I'm taught in the science of the Kemet. When you're looking at things with the ostrich, or you can look around 360 degrees, symbolized by the ostrich feather, or sometimes symbolized by the hawk on the top of the black man's head, meaning that he flies high and can look at the whole picture. And so when you're dealing with a man that can draw 19,000 people out to hear him hear, speak, and ain't nobody on this phone even looking like they're going to be able to come where near being able to draw them 19,000 out to hear them, you got to study that. And then you got, as the 5%ers say, you got to listen, observe. Just bear with me for 1 second, because I'm really talking to the audience and those who will study this tape. You have to study that, and you have to do it what the 5%er would say, get some knowledge by listening, observing, and respecting. Ain't none of us here on this phone put no army or movement together and go out and rent no United Center and get no 19,000 people to come out and pledge allegiance to them and hear what they got to say and do it over and over and over again unless that man have been touched by God. Now, there may be some things that you disagree with him with, but under the Khalid Muhammad analyzation theory about the positives and the negatives and whether the positives outweigh the negatives, and then, or even if the positives outnumber the negatives, as Khalid Muhammad taught us. So here you have a whole lot of positives. As a Farrakhan's critic, let's say we have a certain number of negatives, those that attack him on Dianetics or attack him on some race theory or attack him on Malcolm X, you have a certain number of negatives, just giving us a fair analysis. Then you have a lot of positives, a whole lot of positives, right? So now we have to see whether those negatives outweigh those positives, looking at the big picture. And I'm just saying that the things that people complain about that man nowhere nearly come close to weight and value of all of the good things that he continues to do and has done for us, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Me and you on the phone included.
I agree with you 100% on that.
He's on our side.
On that analysis.
When he speaks up for Africa, let me just say this as I close. When he speaks up for Africa and speaks up for liberation and his webcast all over the world, and you over there watching it in England, and people are circulating it all over YouTube, man, that's helping the black nationalist. We need somebody to make some fertile ground and fertile soil for us. Hell, the civil rights niggas ain't going to do it. Somebody has to preach and create some goddamn ground for us to and help us to get our message out.
I agree with your analysis, and one he spoke a lot of wisdom within that Saviour's Day, and I was pretty excited about what he said at the end, and you probably was excited too. When he talked about the weapons situation and how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad instructed him how to negotiate for weapons, and so it would have
look at that. How much can you? Haven't you been? Isn't that a gift to you? Look at what a
well,
gift that
is. It bared witness to what the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad said years ago when he said that when you create a nation, you need to be able to defend that nation.
We have to defend what we develop. That is our teaching. We must build an army to defend what we have developed. Otherwise, a savage beast will come destroy what we developed.
It was beautiful that he, as at this time, clarified that so that the people that was attacking Dr. Khalid, when Dr. Khalid decided to take up arms to defend the black nation, it now clarifies exactly how Dr. Khalid was really being ahead of the time. And so
that's
I was happy to
a
hear
fair way. That. Is now, that is a fair way of looking at things. That is a fair way of looking at it because it has taken time for the current Nation of Islam administration to arrive at a point where they would make such an open endorsement of armed security or armed policy. And all I'm going to say is this, the way I look at it, it's just much appreciated. You know, I look at it, yes, as Khalid Muhammad ahead of his time, but I just also say thanks.
I say thanks
to Louis Farrakhan for doing that, because it gets so many people up off our neck who always are criticizing us for wanting to legally train and lawfully train and protect and defend ourselves with weapons. So we thank him for doing that. You don't have to do that.
Normally, their position
would be opposite that.
That was beautiful because the fact that he even said that. I know some of you are going to say, I'm Elijah, I was said not to take not to pick up guns and nothing. And then when he said that,
he's giving you a cue, man, brother. That's God's man giving you a cue.
Thank you very much.
Look, Panther Party, I'm saying, look, Panther Party, I'm with you. Look, Panther Party, this is your position and your role. That's God's man giving a solid stamp to the Panther position. That's my father giving a nod to his little son sitting in back of him.
Black power. Well, listen,
yes,
I'm
going to...
We're
going to carry this on all night. I got a lot of calls to make. And
yeah, I'm going to give way.
We're out of here.
I want to give way so you can take some other calls and some other questions.
Y'all can stay on. Let me get off. I got to make some calls. I love all of you. Huey, let's talk back. We got an 8 o'clock organizing call Tuesday night that you got to be on. Let me get off. Everybody else, we know the drill. Love y'all. Black power.
Hey. Black power. Yes, sir. Well, that's it. Mr. Huey, that's it. But you coming back on, Thursday?
Any day you need me, brother. I'm at your disposal. Just let me know.
Yes, sir. Come back on Thursday. We'll have you back on Thursday to help co-host this show, man, because you're a pivotal part with this Africa Move and the International Ambassador. So Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, come right back on. And the chairman will be on. And all those who are online with us who didn't get a chance to get in and state your piece tonight, you come back Thursday for another edition of Black Power Radio. I should say a special edition of Black Power Radio for Thursday night as we drive towards South Africa, Azania, Revolutionary Roots 2013. All right, Black Power for Black People, all power to the people. And remember, if Black people are not free, there's nobody free. We'll close out with the revolutionary soldier and freedom fighter and Panther Cub and Panther Warrior, Tupac Amaru Shakur, Black Power.
Busting his fist against the stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Nobody even know how hard it is being a woman, a black woman at that. In this white man's world, sometimes we overlook the fact that we be riding hard in our sister's room. We know in the pain we can call. This white man's world. This white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all. I'm just saying it's white man's world. So, yeah. All those times that I messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison. I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews' pictures. They say don't let this cruel world get you. Kind of suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Twist the cap off the bottom. I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I had to beg a bottle. Love letters, late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive their mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls of silence. Inside this cage with it, captured all my ways and violence. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apology to my true sister, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. Tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls. White man's world. You know what I heard? Only thing they ever did wrong. Yeah. Born black. It's white man's world. All my ghetto motherfuckers are born black. Born black. It's white man's world. All these motherfuckers want to be like us. They all want to be like us. Yeah, we like us. Being born with less, I must confess, only adds on to the stress. Gunshots to my homie's head, died in his vest, shot him to death and left him bleeding for his family to see. I pass his casket, gently asking, is that heaven for Jesus? My homeboy's doing life, baby mama be stressing, shedding tears when her son finally asked that question. Where my daddy at? Mama, why we live so poor? Why you crying, hurt you, late night to my bedroom door? Now do you love me, mama? Why they keep on calling me nigga? Get my weight up with my hate and pay him back when I'm bigger. Still in this jail cell, missing my block. Hearing brothers screaming all night, wishing they stop. Proud to be black, but why we act like we don't love ourselves? Don't look around, buster, check yourselves. Know what it means to be black, whether a man or girl, we still struggling. And it's white man's world.
It's white man's world.
White man's world.
Black man's world.
direction. In the blink of an eye, my time away just made perfection. Did you think I die? Not going wild, why should I care? Like we holding on the lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless and please keep my seeds healthy. Making all my enemies bleed while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition, weed, and shells. Just in case they trip in heaven, ain't no G's in hell. Just a sorry for the pain that I caused your heart. I know I'll change if you help me, but don't fall apart. Rest in peace to Latasha, Lil Yummy, and Kato. Too much for this cold world to take. Ended up being fatal. Every woman in America, especially black, bear with me. Can't you see that we under attack? I never meant to cause drama to my sister and mama. Hope we make it through better times in this white man's world.
Knows what tomorrow brings.
Born black in this white man's world.